With the sixth pick in the 2014 NBA draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
This is Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Marcus Smart, what a spin move and a finish. Hard to handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM KOAL. And now we're going to focus on NBA Summer League, which was a pretty big topic over the weekend. And we had not one but two correspondents covering it for us here at Castle Country Radio. We had Jabari Davis, who is the host of Triple Threat NBA Talk, which you can hear right here on KOAL every weekend. Plus, we had Jameson Welsh, who was a regular guest on the show as well. Joining us right now to talk a little bit about Summer League and give us his report, we have Jabari Davis over the phone. Jabari, a pleasure as always to get you on. Thank you.
Pleasure is truly mine. Thanks again, Jordan.
Very unique atmosphere at the Las Vegas Summer League this year, and it gets bigger and bigger every year. I feel like it's almost deja vu having this conversation in 2017 because 2016 was so big. Yet, Jameson, there were sold-out sessions at the Summer League. I don't think the NBA could have anticipated 10 years ago that Summer League would be viewed in the regard that it's viewed in today.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have anticipated it, to be honest with you. My first Summer League was about 5 years ago now, and while it was a big deal, it was nothing like these crowds that were out there this past weekend. You hit it on the head. It was sold out on Saturday, and I can tell you on Friday, if it wasn't sold out, it was pretty it was pretty darn close because some of it has to do with the proximity to Los Angeles, with obviously there being a lot of Los Angeles Lakers fans out here. But I saw jerseys from all teams. In fact, I saw dozens of jazz jerseys and jazz fans. It was really something. It was really something to be a part of, to be honest.
Let's start by talking about the Lakers. Obviously, the big draw at the Summer League was Lonzo Ball. And I kind of got the feeling, Jabari, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, that there are expectations placed on Lonzo Ball that, for one, are unrealistic. And a lot of people, maybe they were unfamiliar with Lonzo Ball's game. But I have a feeling that a lot of these people who maybe never watched him in college expected him to come out and put up 35 and 40 points. And let's be honest, that's just not Lonzo's game. Now, he may have struggled from the field on Friday, but I thought he played well. Even though he was 2 of 15 from the field, I thought he did a lot of other things well. And then he bounces back. And regardless if it's Summer League or not, you accumulate a triple-double in four 10-minute quarters. You're doing something right. So I think the expectations are very unrealistic for Lonzo Ball, yet at the same time, maybe it's from people who don't really understand his game.
I think you nailed it again with that, and it's kind of like three different things, I guess. It's people that are unfamiliar, and I'm for one, I don't watch a ton of college basketball. I'll admit that he was right here in my backyard, so I was able to catch probably 5 to 6 full games, as well as obviously the highlights and certain plays from throughout the others. But if you're not familiar with his game and you came into this thinking like, oh, he's like you said, going to put up 35 points and this, that, and the other, well, you're just sorely mistaken, because that's not what he is. He's a guy that controls the flow. He's a guy that is the straw that stirs a drink. He's a guy that getting everybody involved and making a game easy for everyone else, and evidenced by the fact that he was able to put up a triple-double. Again, it's only in game two. Again, it's only Summer League, but at the same time, on the flip side of that, people were ready to call him a bust, for simply going 2 for 15 in the first Summer League game. And I always find it funny where those same individuals, the next game where he puts up the triple double, are the first one saying, well, it's only Summer League. At the end of the day, you put some weapons around him, and Lonzo Ball is going to be everything that he was advertised.
LaVar Ball definitely has added to the pressure and the scrutiny of Lonzo. There's no doubt about it. But I thought he made a very good point in an interview post-game after the first 2-for-15 performance from Lonzo, when he said he's already changed the culture. And Jabari, from home, and I know you were there, so again, I want your opinion on this. It did seem like the culture has been changed, if not drastically, mildly at the very least, with Lonzo Ball out on the court. It just looks different. The game looks different with Lonzo around.
You're exactly right about that. And here's the deal. I don't want to turn this into anti D'Angelo Russell situation. But I will say that the comparison, it was stark. D'Angelo Russell is, in my opinion, honestly, and I'm happy for him that he's in Brooklyn, that he's going to have that opportunity. But he's a scorer that can pass. Lonzo Ball is a passer, a tempo control guy, a guy that makes the game easier for other players, that gets everybody involved, that hits you right in the perfect spot. It's not necessarily always going to be a fancy pass, even though he does have that in his repertoire. It's always going to be the right pass, and we mean by always, I mean, relatively speaking. Look, Kyle Kuzma scored 31 points, and as funny as it is, I was raving about Jason Tatum and how great he looks, how smooth he looks offensively, but then on the flip side, he gave up 31 points to Kyle Kuzma, and a lot of that has to do with how easy the game was made by Lonzo Ball.
Again, our guest right now is Jabari Davis, giving us a report from Summer League. Jabari was on location over the weekend covering Summer League for Castle Country Radio. Jabari, with that being said, you brought up Jason Tatum, who definitely had his moments offensively. Some of the other individuals that stood out to you. I mean, here in the Utah Summer League, Jazz fans were running wild with Donovan Mitchell. And again, I like this guy. I think he's cut from the same cloth, the Jerry Sloan-type cloth, which people in Utah are going to love this kid because he's a gritty defender. He's going to get to the rack. He's going to play old-school style of basketball. Who were some other individuals that caught your eye over the weekend?
You know, what's funny is I'm sitting here looking at the notes, and that was the very first name on there. And I'll tell you what, and Jordan, you know this about me. I'm a show me guy. I'm a, if I don't know the guy, I'm like, yeah, I need to see what it's all about, especially when everybody's ranting and raving about him. He fits the description. He's that guy. Donovan Mitchell is going to be, I think, can be a special guard in this league. I was impressed by how poised he was offensively, especially in a summer league game, because summer league is usually as sloppy as can be. It's fun to see all the young guys out there, but anytime you have a ton of young guys on the court and guys that aren't familiar with one another or aren't nearly as familiar with each other as their previous teammates, there's going to be some sloppiness out there. But Donovan Mitchell looks strong. The one thing that I really appreciated about him was how sneakily long he is, he's got a 7-foot wingspan. He's only about 6'3", 6'4", but he's sturdy. He's got a 7-foot wingspan, and he's a physical presence on the defensive end. So, I was definitely impressed by him. I like Dennis Smith Jr. Now, again, you always have to take someone with a grain of salt because Summer League is dominated by guys that are slashers and attackers, and Dennis Smith Jr. is exactly that. But the one thing that I was really impressed by, even with the past injuries, he's still extremely explosive. He got to the cup, almost at will, especially in game two, and really did some impressive things out there. And, across the board, Tatum and, quite frankly, Lonzo Ball is one of those as well. So, no, Summer League's fun. There's a lot of guys out there, obviously going for broke, but the top names really have not disappointed.
Who was the name that surprised you the most? Maybe not necessarily someone that we've talked about on this show or on Triple Threat, but someone who that really came out of nowhere, that maybe you were unaware of their game until you watched them play this past weekend.
Quite frankly, that was Donovan Mitchell for me, and you know what? I understand. He was getting rave reviews after the Utah Summer League, but I wasn't able to catch most of that footage. I just saw a little bit of the highlights. He was the main one for me. Other guys, So he's obviously a name, but the guy that surprised me was McGorry Markkanen. Now he's still going to have trouble against some of the bigs in the league, especially down below the basket on the defensive end, or even in the mid post on the defensive end. He lacked a little bit of the side to side action that I'd like to see out of him, especially being so light and young to begin with. But that's obviously something that can be corrected. On the offensive end, he showed range, as he did obviously at the U of A. He had a quick little turnaround in one of the games that I was pretty impressed by. Pretty much the biggest surprise for me, and again, it's only because I didn't get to see it, was Donovan Mitchell.
Dante Exum's a guy that a lot of people look. I was one of them. I seen a lot of great stuff out of Dante Exum here in Salt Lake. No Dante Exum this week in Las Vegas Summer League. No Donovan Mitchell and the loss to the Clippers. That's one thing. But from what you and I have talked about and what we have seen from Dante Exum, is it simply just, look, he's going up against Summer League talent. This is a guy that is now, what, 3-4 years into the NBA. He should be used to playing against high-level competition, and you're not necessarily seeing that in the Summer League. Or from what we saw from Dante in the Utah Summer League, is that something that Jazz fans should be smiling about heading into 2017?
Somewhere in the middle, but I was impressed. I was impressed by, his output. in the Jazz Summer League. Again, I didn't get to watch most of the games. But one thing I'll say about this, Exum, you know, now that he's, you know, at least seemingly fully healthy, he's looked better and better, you know, over the years. You know, especially with the, you know, with what I would imagine will be some confidence. You know, obviously they got Rubio there in town, but, you know, Exum has shown that he can play kind of off ball as well. I don't know what their situation is. Actually, you might be able to tell me, if he's still kind of, you know, being used as a combo guard, or is he looking to exclusively be a point guard at this stage?
To me, I almost think if he's not going to back up Rubio, which I believe he will, combo guard to me is exactly the bill that he fits. I think you have to use him off ball. I think you have to use his speed off ball. You have to use his length off ball. To me, it's stupid and dumb to really just use this skill set, this specific athlete in one regard to the game. At least that's my opinion on Dante Exum.
Especially with how the game is going at this stage. I know not everybody uses fully interchangeable parts, but more and more, but especially even moving forward, it seems as though that's going to be the case. So, if I'm a Jazz fan, I'm at least cautiously optimistic. I know I use that pretty much every time I come on here, but I am. I'm pretty much cautiously optimistic because if I'm not mistaken, this is year four for him now. So this is make or break in terms of, you know, at the end of this year, if he shows, he'll be able to, you know, put himself in a position to get a nice healthy contract extension, and if not, well then you'll have a situation, you know, similar to the Trey Burke world. They'll be put in a position where they have to determine whether it's time to move on or try to get him at a lower rate.
Two more questions before I let you go. They'll be simple. First off, who's the best team that you saw as far as young core, young talent that we believe will make an impact at the next level? I mean, right now to say that's the best team front to back in the summer league, let's be honest, anywhere from 6 to 7 of these guys will not make the final roster. So if we're looking at the youngest core that impressed you most at summer league while you were there, who would it be?
I liked what the Lakers were doing. Obviously they're 0-2, so it's not like they're blowing anybody's doors off. But when Ingram was there, I'm not certain if you saw game one, Ingram looked like a guy, and it's kind of cliche now because we say it about one guy on every team, but he was a guy that didn't need to be out there on the court. I definitely liked what Philly had going on until Fultz went down with that ankle injury, and obviously we all hope that if I'm not mistaken, it's a reported high ankle sprain. We hope it's not something that lingers, but I definitely was intrigued by them. But the Celtics, even though Jason Tatum, I've got questions about him on the defensive end, as polished as he is offensively, as well, with the duo of Jaylen Brown and some of those other guys that they have there, there are a lot. You know what? Here's the thing. We all know that the championship race is going to be between two or three teams, maybe four, or maybe even five if we want to be nice. But there are a lot of secondary stories of these rebuilding teams, kind of all growing at once, that will be fun to watch moving forward. So I've been impressed by a lot of those young cores.
Last question before I let you go, not even really a question. I want you to describe to the listener who has never attended Vegas Summer League, maybe they're on the fence about it, what can you expect at this particular event as a spectator?
If anybody's ever been to like a really big or really a popular high school tournament, but with NBA stars, kind of sprinkled throughout, and GMs sprinkled throughout, and coaches sprinkled throughout, and up-and-coming young players sprinkled throughout. If anybody that's on the fence about that, it's not going to be NBA basketball, but if you like basketball being played at a high level, while guys are still trying to figure it out, it's an excellent atmosphere. It's family friendly. Like I said, you'll see a little bit of anyone and everyone, sprinkled throughout the crowd. Bill Burko walked past me the other day, and I'm like, "Hey, Bill!" Of course, he doesn't know who I am, but it's pretty impressive, especially if you're an old school NBA geek like myself. It's pretty impressive when you see guys like that.
Jabari Davis, host of Triple Threat Podcast right here on KOL 107.3 FM 750 AM, giving us the update on the NBA Summer League in Vegas. Jabari, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Easy to find me, like Jordan said, Sunday afternoons, 3 p.m., Triple Threat Radio. And if you do the Twitter thing, Jabari Davis NBA.
Jabari, always fun to get you on and talk NBA basketball. Thank you again for the time, and thank you for the work in Vegas.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this. It's a Monday edition of the show here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.